than the numb horror that accompanied the end of the selective perception. She knows I'm still losing weight. I've seen it on her face. I just didn't know what I was seeing until tonight. "You've got to go back to see Houston," she said. She looked badly frightened, but that confused expression of doubt and sorrow was gone from her eyes now. "The metabolic series..." "Heidi, listen to me," he said, and then stopped. "What?" she asked. "What, Billy?" For a moment he almost told her everything. Something stopped him, and he was never sure later what it was, except that, for one moment, sitting there on the edge of his desk and facing her with their daughter watching TV in the other room and one of her cigarettes in his hand, he felt a sudden savage moment of hate for her. The memory of what had happened, what had been happening, in the minute or so before the old gypsy woman darted out into the traffic, returned to him in a flash of total recall. Heidi had scooted over next to him and put her left arm around his shoulders. And then, almost before he was aware it had happened, she had unzipped his fly. He felt her fingers, light and oh so educated, slip through the gap and then through the opening in his shorts. In his teens, Billy Halleck had occasionally perused, with sweaty hands and slightly bulging eyes, what were referred to by his peers as stroke books. And sometimes in these stroke books a hot bimbo would wrap her educated fingers around some fellow's stiffening member. All nothing but wet dreams set in type, of course. Except here was Heidi. Here was his wife gripping his own stiffening member. And by damn, she was beginning to jerk him off. He had glanced at her, astonished, and had seen the roguish smile on her lips. "Heidi, what are you..." "Shh! Don't say a word." What had possessed her? She had never done such a thing before, and Halleck would have sworn that such a thing had never crossed her mind. But she had done it, and the old gypsy woman had darted. "Oh, tell the truth. As long as the scales are dropping from your eyes, you might as well drop all of them, don't you think? You got no business lying to yourself. The hour's gotten too late for that. Just the facts, ma'am." All right. The facts. The fact was that Heidi's unexpected move had excited him tremendously, probably because it had been unexpected. He had reached for her with his right hand, and she had pulled her skirt up, exposing a perfectly ordinary pair of yellow nylon panties. Those panties had never excited him before, but they did now. Or perhaps it was the way she had pulled up her skirt that had excited him. She had never done that before, either. The fact was that about 85% of his attention had been diverted from his driving, although in 9 out of 10 parallel worlds, things probably still would have turned out perfectly okay. During the business week, Fairview streets were not just quiet, they were downright somnolent. But never mind that. The fact was that he hadn't been in 9 out of 10 parallel worlds. He had been in this one. The fact was that the old gypsy woman hadn't darted out from between the Subaru and the Firebird with the racing stripes. The fact was that she simply walked from between the two cars, holding a net bag full of purchases in one gnarled and liver-spotted hand, the sort of net bag English women often take with them when they go shopping along the village high street. There had been a box of Dove laundry powder in the gypsy woman's net bag. Halleck remembered that. She had not looked. That was true enough. But the final fact was just that Halleck had been doing no more than 35 miles an hour, and he must have been almost 150 feet from the gypsy woman when she stepped out in front of his Olds. Plenty of time to stop, if he had been on top of the situation. But the fact was that he was on the verge of an explosive orgasm, all but the tiniest fraction of his consciousness fixed below his waist, as Heidi's hand squeezed and relaxed, slipped up and down with slow and delicious friction, paused, squeezed, and relaxed again. His reaction had been hopelessly slow, hopelessly too late, and Heidi's hand had clamped on him, stifling the orgasm that shock had brought on for one endless second of pain and a pleasure that was inevitable but still gruesome. Those were the facts. But hold it a second, folks. Hang on a bit, friends and neighbors. There were two more facts, weren't there? The first fact was that if Heidi hadn't picked that particular day to try out a little autoeroticism, Halleck would have been on top of his job, and his responsibility as the operator of a motor vehicle, and the Olds would have stopped at least 5 feet short of the old gypsy woman, stopped with a screech of brakes that would have caused the mothers wheeling their babies across the common to look up quickly. He might have shouted, "Why don't you look where you're going?" at the old woman, while she looked at him with a species of stupid fright and incomprehension. He and Heidi would have watched her scurry across the street, their hearts thudding too hard in their chests. Perhaps Heidi would have wept over the fallen grocery bags and the mess on the carpet in the back. But things would have been all right. There would have been no hearing, and no old rotten-nosed gypsy waiting outside to caress Halleck's cheek and whisper his dreadful one-word curse. That was the first ancillary fact. The second ancillary fact, which proceeded from the first, was that all of this could be traced directly back to Heidi. It had been her fault, all of it. He had not asked her to do what she had done. He had not said, "Say, how about you jack me off while we drive home, Heidi? It's 3 miles, you got time." No, she had just done it, and, should you wonder, her timing had been ghastly. Yes, it had been her fault. But the old gypsy hadn't known that, and so Halleck had received the curse, and Halleck had now lost a grand total of 61 pounds, and there she sat, and there were brown circles under her eyes, and her skin looked too sallow. But those brown circles weren't going to kill her, were they? No, ditto the sallow skin. The old gypsy hadn't touched her. So the moment when he might have confessed his fears to her, when he might have said simply, "I believe I'm losing weight because I have been cursed," that moment passed. The moment of crude and unalloyed hate, an emotional boulder shot out of his subconscious by some crude and primitive catapult, passed with it. "Listen to me," he said, and like a good wife, she had responded, "What, Billy?" "I'll go back and see Mike Houston again," he said, which was not what he had originally intended to say at all. "Tell him to go ahead and book the metabolic series. As Albert Einstein was wont to say..." "What the fuck?" "Oh, Billy," she said, and held her arms out to him. He went into them, and because there was comfort there, he felt shame for his bright hate of only moments ago. But in the days